Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
In the 1976 movie All of the President's Men, a catchphrase was made popular. You recognize it. It was, "Just follow the money." Well, in that movie, the suggestion was made that there is always a money trail associated with corruptive schemes and corruption, mostly as it occurs within high political office. Well, today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to highlight just briefly two examples where following the money trail is exposing a corruptive scheme, and one that, frankly, that's unfolding as we speak in regard to the exposing of the lies and the corruption within the Clinton campaign and more broadly into the Obama administration. Now, the other is the money trail that exposes how the Islamists, bent on destroying America, have been using an elaborate scheme to launder terrorist funds and to raise funds for terrorism right under our noses. Special guest Dr. Oren Litwin of Middle East Forum will join us in segments 2 and 3 to unveil this very, very sinister plot. And with that introduction, I want to welcome you today to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by Dr. Gary Dahl. And ladies and gentlemen, before I get into the money trail that will produce more bombshells, I think collapsing, at least wounding anyways, the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, the Clinton campaign, and others in the former Obama administration, I did want to mention on a little bit more, well, different vein, that this month, the month of October, is designated as Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, those of you who are listening who are churchgoers, you have a pastor. And this month has been set aside to honor pastors, and Stand in the Gap Today is offering a very easy opportunity for you to honor and bless your pastor in one easy action. It's easy to do. Just go to the American Pastors Network Facebook page, American Pastors Network Facebook page, and there tag your pastor with a short comment relative to why you appreciate him or something about him. And what's going to happen then is that we will take that comment and it will help then to qualify your pastor for an opportunity for a free thank you gift from Stand in the Gap Today and American Pastors Network, gifts that range from $125 value Founders Bible, which we talk about on this program a lot, to U-Turn videos, and I'll explain a little bit more later, or to selected sermon CDs. Just tag your pastor on American Pastors Network Facebook page, and then we'll do the rest. Okay, Gary, let's jump right in now to the following issue here, the theme for the day, the money trail. Just follow the money. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to any news this last year, and I don't know how you could avoid it, you're aware of the monumental allegations by the Clinton campaign and others, certain members of Congress, the controlled media, certainly, and probably generally all opponents to President Trump, that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians, right? You recognize that? The Russians did it and all of that kind of business, and that he really didn't win the November election. That's what a lot of these assertions have made. But if you've been watching in the last weeks, the narrative has changed, and it's changing by the day. And believe it or not, it's unfolding that Donald Trump nor his campaign coordinated in any way with the Russians. Instead, it's appearing to be more a carefully orchestrated scheme, a lie manufactured and executed by the Clinton campaign and others, extending into a couple of law firms, and yes, right even to the FBI and law enforcement itself. Now, a lead article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, as I do this here on Friday morning, it was this morning, it's an article worth reading. And I want to mention it now to you and just read just a little bit about it. I'm going to then go to Gary for a comment. But the title of this article is, quote, "The Coming Russia Bombshells. A judge may order Fusion GPS to give House investigators its bank records," end quote. And there's the connection to the theme today. Follow the money. Let me read just a little bit from this article here, just to give you background, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Quote, "The confirmation of this week that Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democrat National Committee paid an opposition research firm for a dossier on Donald Trump is bombshell news. More bombshells are to come. The Fusion GPS saga is not over. The Clinton DNC funding is but a first glimpse into the shady election doings concealed within that opposition firm's walls. We now know where Fusion got some of its cash. But the next question is, how the firm used it? With whom did it work beyond former British spy Christopher Steele? Whom did it pay? Who else was paying it? The answers are in Fusion's bank records. Fusion has doggedly refused to divulge the names of its clients for months now, despite extraordinary pressure. So why did the firm suddenly insist that middleman law firm Perkins Coie release Fusion from confidentiality statements and spill the beans on who hired it? Well, because there's something Fusion cares about keeping secret even more than the Clinton DNC news, and that something is in those bank records. The release of the client names was a last-ditch effort to appease the House Intelligence Committee, which issued subpoenas to Fusion's bank and was close to obtaining records until Fusion filed suit last week. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. It goes on to say, FBI bombshells are also yet to come. The Bureau also has stonewalled congressional subpoenas for documents related to the dossier, but they became harder with the DNC Clinton news. On Thursday, Speaker Paul Ryan announced the FBI had finally pledged to turn over its dossier file next week. End quote. So that's just a little bit from that article, but you get a sense, ladies and gentlemen, the significance, bombshells, they've been coming out. A lot more is going to come out, and it's linked to follow the money. And that's what they're going after right now. Now, Gary, we don't have time to really develop this whole story, but I just want to go to you right now. From a biblical perspective, can you share a principle involved here that we don't want to miss regarding how there is a money trail and how these trails, regardless of what you try to do to cover them, come to light? Share just something a little bit with our listeners relative to perhaps what we're seeing from a principle perspective unfold here. Could you do that?
Well, from a biblical perspective, I go directly to Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, where it says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." You know, you can run, but you can't hide. And certainly what we see here in these bombshells, as this article refers to, is a lot of truth is being revealed. And, you know, as I've been following this myself, Sam, the question that has come to my mind is, how stupid can you get? Understand what I'm saying? You know, the Obama administration and the Clintons in trying to set up this collusion with Donald Trump and so forth, and how it is wrong, and yet they themselves, as Clintons, are involved. Not only is their sin finding them out, but they're sure making some stupid decisions.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you do evil and you try to cover it, that is a stupid decision, because it will come out. I think we're seeing it manifested on a national scale. To that, I say great news. Now, when we come back, we're going to bring in our special guest, Dr. Oren Litwin. He's a fellow researcher with Islamist Watch, a program of the Middle East Forum. And we're going to talk about Islamist white-collar jihad exposed by following the money trail.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence
influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, corrupt government actions and the sinister actions of enemies within, consistent with the theme of today's program, Follow the Money, always has a money trail. And following that trail properly will uncover a treasure trove of involvements, connections, conspiracies, long-range sinister plans. And what is done with that information, though, makes all the difference between whether justice is accomplished or cover-up continued. And such is the case with a long history of Islamic action in this country, where those connected to jihadist actions, particularly with the Muslim Brotherhood and others, as they have waged a war here in America, but not so much in the form of militant and violent actions on the streets, but really in positions of power and influence and with people who wear shirts and ties. In many ways, a more sinister approach, but one that is necessary to prepare the way for the violent and murderous Islam's jihadists that follow in their wake. And to help us understand this connection, I want to welcome to Stand in the Gap Dr. Oren Litwin. He is currently serving as the Islamist Money and Politics Research Fellow for Islamist Watch, which is a program of Middle East Forum, which you can find at meforum.org. And with that, I welcome you to the program today, Dr. Oren Litwin. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I tell you, I like what you write, Dr. Litwin. I've read a number of your articles, and they've been very helpful. And this one that you just did a little earlier, which was published in the National Review, was entitled Terror Financing. And the rest of the article title was It's Time to Take Care of Unfinished Business. That caught my attention. In the article, you identified a leading terrorist financing organization called the SARS Foundation, S-A-A-R-S, SARS Foundation. And you said in this article, Dr. Litwin, quote, in particular, this gives the United States the opportunity to revisit the sordid case of the SAR Network, an organization of Islamic terror financiers in the United States that has inexplicably escaped punishment. The SAR Network is a web of over 100 purported charities, nonprofits, and financial firms centered in Northern Virginia that were accused of laundering money for terrorism, end quote. So, Dr. Litwin, there are four questions I want to ask between Gary and I we want to uncover here in this segment and next. I want to lay it out so our listeners know where we're going to go. The first one is, who is SARS? Secondly, what is their goal and their purpose? Third, why has nothing been done, as you suggest, to actually take them to the point of law enforcement? And then fourth, in the next segment, I want to ask you, why are you hopeful that something, in fact, now may happen under the Trump administration? So if we could, let me just start with this first question for you here. Who is the SARS Network? That's S-A-A-R-S. Who are they? Who is the SARS Foundation?
Well, S-A-A-R, actually. Pardon me. And it's actually named for Sulaiman Abdulaziz Al-Raji, who is a Saudi banker and a billionaire, member of one of the very powerful families in Saudi Arabia. And he was the one who fronted the original money, we think, that funded this. We have no actual record of where the money came from, but given the name and given that one of his cousins actually worked as a director for one of the SAR network entities, it seems likely. Basically, the SAR Foundation itself is a single foundation which was the nucleus for dozens of other organizations, many of which existed only on paper, that shared a core of corporate directors, including people like Jamal Barzinji, Yaqub Mirza, Hisham al-Talib, all of which were major, major figures in the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And their purpose, or rather, they were founded in the early 1980s primarily to allow the whoever the donor is to to get money out of Saudi Arabia, where, ironically, it was being watched more carefully as far as being able to transfer it to terrorist actors. In the United States, they would better be able to obscure the movement of capital between all these different shell organizations and eventually route it to where they want it to go.
You know, this is very interesting, Doctor. I'm glad that you're with us. I would ask, if you would not mind, please, to repeat the name of the individual who is behind this. It's SARS. Who's the individual that's actually behind it again? Could you repeat that, please?
So it is named for Sulaiman Abdul Aziz al-Rajhi. And whether he is actually the person truly behind it is hard to know because a lot of these records are not available, but it seems probable.
Okay, and so what really is their goal and purpose? I mean, I'm guessing that they are worldwide in their reach, correct?
They are. There is, in fact, a SAR International organization, which has offices in several different countries. In the United States, the initial goal, as I said, was just to house money that was transferred in cash from Saudi Arabia. We have records of at least $3 million, which was brought in, you know, via airplane and was recorded by customs. Then, and probably there were additional flights beyond that. But so that was the first goal, just to house the money and be able to deploy it in the United States. Secondly, once the money is here, to be able to transfer it to various terrorist fronts in the United States. We have records of transfers to fronts that operated for Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and there's millions of dollars of transfers that are unaccounted for, so we don't know where they went. The third, and I want to say actually the most dangerous, is the support of the SAR network for an organization called the International Institute of Islamic Thought, or IIIT, which was actually founded in 1981. It was one of the very first things that the network did. And the IIIT functions as the think tank for the Muslim Brotherhood, publishing books and documents and making the intellectual arguments in support of Islamism, which is to say the political ideology using Islam as a political weapon for domination.
Well, that's interesting, Dr. Lippman, as you're talking about that, because you're saying you brought in the IIIT. You described them as the think tank for the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood are all over the world, but there's a North American Brotherhood as well. Is this think tank, is it a think tank for the Brotherhood worldwide? And is it driving strategy, perhaps, for Muslim Brotherhood activity here in the United States as well?
Certainly in the United States, it's driving a lot of the discourse. As far as its influence worldwide, I can't really answer that other than to say that it is promulgating within the U.S. statements and writings from the worldwide leadership, such as Yusuf al-Qaradawi, the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's got three of his books that have been translated into English and published by the IIIT. But as far as their own action, one of their major, I would say, successes was creating the term Islamophobia in the 1990s. So you may have heard of Islamophobia a lot as sort of a cudgel that's being used against organizations that are leery of the terror threat. And, I mean, granted, there are obviously some instances of pure bigotry, but they've been using that term not as a way of protecting their civil rights, but as a smokescreen for actual objectionable behavior and terror-supporting behavior.
Well, so they are the, excuse me, just to clarify this, I'm sorry, Sam. So they are the ones who have actually come up with that phrase, Islamophobia?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you talk about, corruption, and you talk about planting a seed? It's amazing to me why they are able to function as they do without having any kind of ramifications. There must be those, Sam and Dr. Litwin, there must be those out there who are covering for them.
Gary, I'm sure there are. And, Doctor, I want to go back to you in the last couple of minutes of this segment and go a little bit further into this, because that kind of term creation, as we said at the beginning, it's different than the violence in the street. I use the term shirt and tie jihad strategy. Go into a little bit more detail, if you could, about how SAR and what they're doing here, this money laundering and this IT involvement, are actually preparing the way in this country. How do they actually work behind the scenes in the shirt and tie approach to actually advance Islamic activity in the United States?
So one of the most important things that they are doing, money flows throughout the network, ends up at IIIT, and then IIIT is actually endowing university professorships with millions and millions of dollars to teach Islamic studies in across several colleges in the United States. And obviously, you can study Islam, and that's a reasonable field of activity, but the question is, who is teaching it, what are they teaching, and what are they trying to create in their students? And in many cases, the Middle East Forum has found that many teachers, many professors of Islamic studies are actually themselves preaching radicalism. And that's the kind of environment that the IIIT is trying to create by paying for these professorships and endowing them. Additionally, they also publicly argue in support of Islamism and certain ideas within Islamism. So, for example, on February 7th of this year, there was actually a public lecture given by a Georgetown professor, Jonathan Brown, at the IIIT defending slavery in Islam.
And wow. Defending slavery. See, we heard that. We didn't cover that on the program. I probably want to come back in the future with you and cover that in more detail. But This is astounding information here, Dr. Litwin.
It was actually a fascinating talk, but the overall objective was to legitimate, you know, and to excuse that kind of behavior.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our theme, Follow the Money. We gave two current examples, what's unfolding there with the Russia scheme and the Clinton campaign and all that monkey business there that's going on. But now we're talking about the Islamic activity through a foundation called SAAR, S-A-A-R Foundation, and how they are funneling terrorist money to the ground here in the United States and around the world. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Litwin and find out why it is that information of this type has not found its way into prosecution and why individuals have not been sent to jail for what they're doing. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
If you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap today, I welcome you, particularly those of you on the East Coast who this falls right in the middle of your lunch break. And we are thankful that so many are tuning in at this point. And if you just tuned in, you're going to want to go back and pick up this program. The information being shared here today about Follow the Money in relation to not just Russia and what's happening with the Clinton Foundation business that's unfolding, but now in this segment that we're in, last one and this one, where we are focusing on a very, very important but unreported trail of, it's more than corruption, it's terrorism, that have been occurring with Islamic activity in this country and how it's been actually funneled and put forward. We're dealing with that now. And I want to request, I guess, if I could put it that way, that if you have not downloaded our app, ladies and gentlemen, it's the best way, probably the most convenient way, to go back and listen to the programs in their entirety, as well as all of three programs from Stand in the Gap. You can do that on your app, iPhone or Android. Just go into your store, it's a free app, and put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap. You can download it. You can communicate with us then. We give alerts of program topics and guests, as well as a host of other things. You can also participate with us there financially, easily, and right at your fingertips. And we encourage you to do that so that information of this type can continue and expand. So with that, I want to welcome you back again here as we now go into this third segment with our special guest, Dr. Oren Litwin, who is the Islamist Money and Politics Research Fellow for Islamist Watch, which is a program of the Middle East Forum. And if you want to go to their website, you can do so by going to meforum.org. All right. Well, let's go here. Dr. Litwin, we answered a couple of questions on the other side. Who is SAAR? You answered that. We talked about what is their goal and their purpose. But I want to go now to this piece of the equation, because in that article that you wrote in National Review, you identified a whole litany of evidence that had been previously uncovered relative to people, to organizations, to connections of all types that clearly indicated that there was money laundering going on. There is financing of terrorist activities in this country and beyond, but there have not been investigations that are pursued. And I want to go now to this third question we want to ask you, and that is this. Why haven't there been thorough investigations and prosecutions with those associated with the SAAR Foundation when there is such a clear follow the money trail present. Why is that?
That is the big question. And I should preface this by saying much of the information I'm going to talk about is provided in a federal affidavit that Agent David Kane actually wrote, and you can find it online, detailing his request for a search warrant for the Star Foundation organizations. And there were actually investigations, several investigations, but they were always cut off before they could do anything good. It started in 1995 when a Florida professor named Sami Al-Aryan was raided, and it was found that he was actually the North American head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And while they were searching his papers, they found several checks that had been written by entities within the Star Network, including Yaqub Mirza, and that brought them on the radar. After that, they started the investigation, but it went very, very slowly because in 1998, it's known that the National Security Council in the Clinton administration wanted to push the prosecution forward, but the FBI did not because they didn't want to be seen as racially profiling. Then in 1999, the IRS actually did an audit of the Star Foundation and found many, many, blatant violations of nonprofit law that should have imperiled their status or even resulted in jail time. And they were lied to repeatedly by SAR officials, and yet, surprisingly, they took no action. And then in the Bush administration, investigation continued on, but no one was acting on it. In 2002, they were planning to do a raid on the SAR Foundation and the various other entities, and it was canceled because of political pressure. Until a counterterrorism expert and former FBI official named John Loftus filed suit in March of 2002 to force disclosure. At that point, the raid went forward, and that's where you can find the affidavit I mentioned from David Kane, which lays this out in great detail. And he said that he had heard that the reason that the earlier raid had been canceled was because they didn't want to create a diplomatic incident with the Saudi government, because so many of the tendrils from the SAR network touched on Saudi government officials. Not to say that it's official Saudi government policy, but that officials within the government were supporting this kind of activity.
What's that, sir?
Oh, I was just going to say, even after the raid went forward, there's an article in 2005 where federal agents were complaining anonymously that even though they seized 500 boxes of evidence, including computer files, they didn't have the resources to actually go through them, and they were being denied translators or computer forensic experts. So we have all this stuff that we can't actually exploit.
Mm. Wow.
This is all not only interesting, but it's very serious information and important information that you're sharing with us. I hear it sounds like somebody's changing their ice machine or something. I don't know if I heard that or not, if you heard that or not, folks, but we are not being intruded here, I promise you. But the fact of the matter is, this is serious information, and I'm wondering if you could do something for us, and that is, Dr. Litwin, if you could share with us just a little bit more of who might be involved with this in the Obama administration or in the Bush administration, simply because of the fact that it appears to me as though there are a lot of people that are afraid of SARS. Who is trying to cover them up? Who is afraid of them? Who is running from them? What really seems to be the deeper issue here?
So in the Bush administration in particular, on the one hand, there was the concern of Saudi Arabia, which was also present in the Clinton administration and to a lesser extent even in the Obama administration. The other factor which was present, at least that's what John Loftus claimed, was that Grover Norquist, the president of Americans for Tax Reform, was, for whatever reason, exerting his influence to try to slow roll a lot of these investigations, and it's not clear exactly why. In the Obama administration, and the Obama administration was the one that finally canceled the investigations right when the prosecutors were ready to bring indictments on money laundering and tax fraud, it was all canceled. And the Obama administration, it's Patrick Poole, who's a fantastic journalist, he reported that they canceled the investigation to avoid inflaming the Muslim community and to embarrassing the Obama administration, which has contacts with a lot of the organizations which were involved in this, not in the network itself, but in some of their partner organizations like the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. And you also have to look at this in a larger context, which is that the Islamists, in their goal to influence American policy, have been deliberately trying to infiltrate or interact with the progressive movement on the Democratic side, to the point that now if you follow arguments about intersectionality, people will say we need to defend Muslims, and when they say Muslims, they mean Islamists, just as we would defend other oppressed groups. And so in that context, it was seen as expedient for the Justice Department to kill the investigation.
That's interesting, Dr. Litwin. Can I assume that the think tank, the Muslim Brotherhood think tank, IIIT, had perhaps something to do with the developing of that strategy also?
Very likely.
See, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're listening carefully to what's being said. This is something that happens behind the scenes. We don't see these kinds of things that are taking place. It's not the violent eruption on the street, but what Dr. Litwin is talking about has a money trail associated with it. It's been going on for years and years, and it's been laying the foundation for the public narrative, as he just described, Islamophobia, came out of this network, and it's preparing and undermining, really, American attitude toward that ideology that is at war, effectively, with our Constitution and all that we understand to be here in America. Now, I want to conclude with this question to you, Dr. Litwin. In the article, you are asserting that unlike these past administrations, you have some hope that this administration, the Trump administration, will in fact perhaps pick up this information and do something with it. Can you tell us why you are a bit optimistic about this?
So far, it's early days yet, but we have seen the Trump administration show a greater willingness to re-examine the Islamist threat and try to develop a strategy against it than the previous administrations, and particularly the Trump administration has been willing to consider declaring the Muslim Brotherhood itself to be a terror entity, which the Obama administration steadfastly resisted, and the Bush administration also, because they had fond dreams of being able to work with them and moderate them, which goes to show how little they understood the Muslim Brotherhood. Additionally, on the prosaic side, a lot of the Saar Foundation people, like Yaqub Mirza, Hisham al-Talib, are very, very heavy political donors and have a lot of connections to the sort of standard political scene. Given that the Trump administration is less beholden to the usual Washington swamp, we have that window of opportunity where if they are so motivated, they can push through major change on this issue.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Dr. Litwin, quickly, do you have a website you would like people to go to for more information? Please give it.
Yeah, you can go to, first of all, MEF, MiddleEastForum.com, MEForum.com, and also Islamist-watch.org.
Islamicwatch.org?
Islamist, yes.
Very good. Thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest, Dr. Oren Litwin, with Islamist Watch, a program of the Middle East Forum. Fantastic information. Now, stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back now. We're going to talk in the final conclusion about bringing justice forward, the kind of things we're talking about now.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the Bible talks much about justice and bringing evil to light. And really, that's what the bulk of today's program has been about. Following the money is a legitimate process to use in exposing corruption and to bring evil workers to justice, which is, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard we say many times on this program, is really the biblical primary purpose for government. It is to enact justice. So the things we're talking about today are the types of things that is exactly the purpose for government. And when we see evil exposed and corruption identified, that is what's necessary for the preservation of every society. That's what's necessary for God to bless a society. And when these kinds of bombshells, things that are coming out, and what we're hearing is this threat of Islamic terrorism through these backdoor funding mechanisms that have not yet been investigated fully, or let's put it this way, investigated but not prosecuted, it's something that's important for all of us to know. But not only is there that principle that we wanted to highlight today in the program, we started in the first segment by talking about Pastor Appreciation Month. That is the month of October, and that gets into another principle that we want to touch on just briefly, and that's the principle of giving honor to those in positions of authority and how that ties into Pastor Appreciation Month and what we are trying to do here at Stand in the Gap Today and American Pastors Network to recognize that. Gary, I'd like to go to you right now as we enter this final segment, and that I'd like you to give just, if you could, a brief overview of what the Scripture says about the concept of honor and why it's important, and then we're going to get into more of how folks who are listening can actually go to the American Pastors Network Facebook page, and there just tag their pastor with a brief comment about why, you know, they are honoring him and say something good about him. And then we at Stand in the Gap Today will pick up that comment, and we're going to enter that pastor in a process by which he just might be the recipient of a free gift ranging all the way from a Founder's Bible to a U-Turn video selection kit or other CDs that we have. So we'll talk more about that. But I'd like you to talk about honoring, Gary, because that ties into this aspect here, if you could. Just lay that out for us. I think it'll be helpful.
Well, Sam, I would like to do that, and I'd like to do it from the perspective of why the honor is due. The Word of God has a lot to say about pastors and their responsibilities, and they've got a great responsibility before Almighty God. The pastor of the local church is really the under-shepherd. That is, he's responsible directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter that when Christ returns, he has a special reward for pastors. And that reward is a reward that's given to pastors who are very, very special. It's called the crown of glory. And so Christ thinks a lot of pastors, and so people in the congregation should think a lot of their pastors as well. Now, you'll never find a perfect pastor. Just like we'll never find a perfect church, you will never find a perfect pastor. Your pastor is human, just like the rest of us are. Keep that in mind. He has the same temptations, he's got the same issues, he's got the same problems that he faces as you do, or as anybody else does. But he has been called by God. The pastor in the local church is not a hireling, but rather he is called by God to that local church. And a local church doesn't hire the pastor to do their job. The local church recognizes the calling of God upon a particular individual to pastor that church when they vote him in to serve them. And so it is important to honor him because he is the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ to the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, let the elders, that is the pastors, that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And that phrase, double honor, is a financial term, which means that give them double their salary, as it were. Now, you know, you can apply that any way that you wish, but the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not the congregation's responsibility to keep the pastor poor as long as God keeps him humble. You know, you've often heard that said. No, double honor is to be given to the pastor, particularly those who are ruling well in the delivery of the Word of God. Then you go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And in verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." And here it is, "whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation." A pastor who rules well is to receive double honor, but he is also to have his congregation following him in realms of spiritual matters. And then you drop down to verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you," talking about the spiritual rule of the pastor, "and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable," it says in the Word of God, "for you." So we honor pastors because of who they are, the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ to deliver the Word of God. And don't just honor your pastor in the month of October. Honor him 365 days of the year by following his teaching and following his faith.
Gary, that was just excellent. And ladies and gentlemen, we just didn't have the time to get into it, but the whole concept of honoring goes even broader. I think of back in the Ten Commandments, children are to honor their parents. It's the first command with promise, meaning that your children will live longer if you honor your parents. All the way through, we honor God. We are commanded to honor the king. We are to honor our parents as children. And we are to honor those who have the rule over us, our spiritual leaders, our pastors. There is a biblical principle where blessing is tied in significantly, and the opposite is in effect if we do not honor. So that's why we here in this remaining 4 days, you only have a few days left here in October, ladies and gentlemen, we thought we'd have a good opportunity for you to very easily do something which doesn't cost you anything. Go to our Facebook page, American Pastors Network. On that Facebook page there, tag your pastor and give just a couple comments about why you appreciate that pastor. We will pick that up, and that pastor's name will then go into a basket. We will then choose some from that list to which we'll get either a $125 Founders Bible or U-Turn DVDs or CDs that we are offering, and we will give away. Easy to do. I encourage you to do that. You only have a few days left, so jump on there right now. Gary, could I ask you here in these closing moments to just take us to the Lord in prayer and pray for these things as well as what we've heard today, and for our listeners that they would stand firmly as we enter this weekend?
Father in heaven, as we come to you, particularly as we are talking in the second and the third segments, I pray for truth to be revealed in this nation. There's a lot of corruption out there, but I pray that truth and justice will come to this nation, to every one of us, for your glory. But then, Lord, I also pray for pastors. These are men of God who've dedicated their life to teaching the Word of God and to feeding the flock. Give them the strength to do it. Help them to lead their congregations, and I do pray that their congregations will give them the honor that's their due, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today as we now conclude another week of broadcasting here on Stand in the Gap today. And we do pray for you that all of you are listening, take this information, apply it to your lives, and the best of your ability, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.